Welcome to another episode of the Tennis Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Gianluca Sola. In this episode, I chat to Marco Panichi. This chat happened straight after the Wimbledon final 2021, which saw Novak Djokovic win his 20th Grand Slam. Marco Panichi, he is an Italian coach and high-level fitness trainer. He is actually currently the fitness trainer of Novak Djokovic. He's been working with him for several years now. He has an incredible amount of experience in this field. He's worked also for many tennis federations and also famous academies, including IMG and Sanchez Casal. And he's worked with who's who, an extremely long list of professionals, Fabio Fognini, Angelique Kerber, Lina, obviously Novak Djokovic, Cole Schreiber, the list goes on and on, even Ivo Karlovic, which is quite interesting. Anyway, it's a great chat. Listen to it. It was straight after the Wimbledon final, so it's he's got some really interesting insights and news and information on Djokovic as well. I hope you enjoy it. Ciao, ciao.
Yep, Gianluca, I'm here.
we have just finished watching, well, I have, but I'm sure you have too, watching the Wimbledon final. And, well, I will introduce you briefly later, but what are your first ideas or what's your first response to this final that Novak has won?
I mean, you know, I'm from Rome and the opponent is Matteo is from Rome too, and he's coached by Vincenzo Santopadre, which is another Roman person, plus was my former player. So, I mean, I was his fitness coach when he was a player, so it was a little bit emotional match, but of course only because the final Wimbledon with my player. But also because there are so many, you know, you can say so many cross things, as I told you, the friendship with the opponents and everything. So it was really, really deep. I mean, Nole played as usual wonderfully. I mean, when he needs to raise the level, he's always able to do it. And that's probably the biggest weapon, although there are so many others, of course, but this one is a kind of a trademark of him.
Sure. Marco, as I was saying, thank you very much. I just want to introduce you briefly. I wanted to ask you that question immediately because obviously we are Italian and today is quite a special day. We have never had an Italian
Wimbledon
final. And later there is also a little football match to happen, so the Euro final.
Yes.
So, but you are basically you're an Italian professional coach and muscle physiotherapist, a high level motor preparation trainer, and you are currently working with Novak Djokovic, the number one in the world, who has just a few minutes ago won Wimbledon. And not only that, I think maybe 20 Grand Slams maybe has confirmed to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest player ever. You have worked with him since 2018. You're a former athlete, a two-time Italian champion in long jump. You have also worked with many tennis federations, including the Italian, the Chinese, Israeli, and German Federation. Consultant to many academies, including Sanchez Casal and IMG. And you record also fitness training videos for topleveltennis.com. And finally, just to mention a few, because there are so many, but you have been a personal trainer with, obviously, Novak Djokovic, Angelique Kerber, Christian Garin, Cole Schreiber, Ivo Karlovic, Fabio Fognini, Scavione, Lina, and the list goes on and on and on. So you are honestly top level at your professional at the very highest level. So that is incredible.
That means I'm pretty old, because with all these people, you know, give an indication of my age.
No, but it's really, really incredible. I mean, the people you have worked with is incredible. I have so many questions for you, and I don't want to keep you too long, also because we must get ready for this football match. But one of my first questions, but you've already answered it, was Berrettini Novak. I mean, who do you support? And I think you've already answered that question for me. But let's start from the beginning. Your tennis journey, where did it start? Where did you start with your involvement in tennis?
Well, I mean, it's, let's say, as I told you, I'm getting pretty old, because now I'm 60. And so I was one of the first fitness coach involved in tennis, because, I mean, at that time, as you mentioned, I was in track and field, and was very sort of funny combination of things. I mean, one of the trainer in track and field, specifically, he was training discus and hammer throw athletes. He was involved in tennis in one club near Rome. He was basically working also in tennis preparation in this club. He needed a new let's say, assistant at that time. I was 18, so we are talking a really black and white era. And because he saw me that I was teaching also in my spare time in track and field kids, he said, well, why you don't come to help me with the tennis? And I was always in love with tennis, even though if I never played tennis, of course, but I liked sports. And I said, yeah, why not? I mean, I start like this, because he pushed me to go there. He was also, you know, I mean, he was big man. I was a kind of, you say, it was impossible to say no to him. And I said, okay, I come there. And slowly I get involved. I was, as I told you, one of the first one. I mean, going back to the time, there was no traveling fitness coach, basically. Actually, not even that much traveling coach, let's say, because, I mean, at that time, tennis player, they go alone to play, then come back to the club, practice, and then start again. So slowly, the coach start to follow, because due the calendar was very full calendar that start to, you know, the players have to play much more, and they were not able to come back in the club to train. So first of all, travel, and then of course, because the necessity push also the fitness coach to go around with the player. So I start to travel too, and I was one of the first, as I told you. I remember just that time, me and one Argentinian guy, that we were fitness coach, and I started like this, slowly, going around. My first tournament was in India. At the time, was Satellite. We are talking about 80, I don't remember, 86, something like this, 80, 87, okay. Or 80, yeah, something like that. And I was totally in love with this sport. So when I stopped to be an athlete, I dedicate full myself in this job.
Okay. So you I mean, you were always an athlete, obviously long jump and etc. But you were never a tennis player. You never played tennis.
No. I'm proudly always say that I'm not a tennis coach, and because I think it's important that players recognize you for what you represent. I mean, you know, I don't want to lose my credibility, say some things that they can doubt a little bit. So they know that I'm a fitness coach, and what I'm saying, it's for the fitness. And then, of course, we can talk about after a long time, and I have the luck to work with the best coaches in the world. If they ask me something from the biomechanic point of view, I can tell something like this, but I strongly believe in the respect of the roles in the team.
Okay.
Because the message that have to arrive to the players have to be trustable message, you know. I mean, player have to know that if they need some things, there is responsible of the technical, the tactical, the, you know, the fitness, the physio. Then of course the team, we talk each other and we send the message in only one way to the player. But again, so
yeah, everyone has their role. Let's put it that way. Yeah. Yeah. No, you. I just wanted to say, I see also you graduated in sport coaching and psychology at the University NSU in Florida. Yeah. Was that a very nice experience for you? Did you play sports there?
Yeah. I mean, I think that again, this is part of my job, even though if it's not the as I told you before, the main line. But as I study also the muscle therapist, because I want to know what is going on, you know, I want to have the full picture of what is going on. I want to know how to communicate the best way with my player. That's why the sports psychologist. And this is part of the game. I mean, it's part of the, you know, even though if I'm talking about how to jump, how to run, but then there are so many messages that you have to send to your player. More you know how to deal with these things, more maybe is the message can go clear to the player. So I think it's knowledge that more or less you have to have in order to optimize your information.
Okay, yeah. I actually watched this morning your presentation that you did for the Tennis World Conference. You did an hour presentation for the first World Tennis Conference, and it was very fascinating. You start off showing the movement of animals, and anyway, you go on and talk about the balance, especially the importance of balance and so on. And it was a very, very interesting. What is for my listeners who don't know, you do masophysiotherapy. What is it exactly, masophysiotherapy?
No. I'm a fitness coach, and then I study also this let's say this branch that is connected with my work, but it's not that it's like a physio to be a physio. So what's going on, how to deal with, you know, eventually with prevention of injury or rehab of injury. So, but that's is, you know, in a team like in an only team, there are the physio, which are the responsible of the, let's say, the rehab or the prevention, but of course we work all together in a kind of a concert, you know. So that's the why. I mean,
okay. So masophysiotherapy is just a part of what you bring,
Okay.
Talking about Novak. For many people, he maybe is, for tennis, the ultimate athlete. His movement, his balance, flexibility are legendary. My question, and I'm very curious, is this very much a natural thing for him, or did he get this because of specific training or of a lot of training?
Well, Gianluca, this is a good question. I do say that the genetics, of course, play important role in this case. I mean, when we talk about all these champions in all the sports, they have genetically, they are a little, me the word, a little bit genetically modified compared to the other rest of the humans, you know, in one way. I think the most right things to do is to we as a, let's say, me as a fitness coach or tennis coach, whoever is working with athletes, to sew as a tailor the perfect suit on top of the player. So you have to understand, for example, specifically talking about my job, which kind of body, which kind of weapons, physically talking, the player has, and you had to develop the plan, the program, you know, around their natural characteristics. So coming back to your question, Nole is that kind of player, and I don't want to change his nature. Yeah. We do everything connected with this, let's say, characteristic, and we try to implement his natural power. I mean, in this case, flexibility, the capacity to run almost forever and to recover very fast and be very elastic and explosive in the same way. That's, I think, the job that people around the athlete have to do. So to study exactly which one is the, again, the characteristic of your player, and to be a good tailor, you know, to suit the perfect dress on top of him.
Okay. So, I mean, to be fair, maybe he already is, my gut feeling, he was already genetically very...
Absolutely. No, but this is out of any doubts. No, for sure. I mean, that's completely true. But it's, you know, this is like, you know, is how you say, is a privilege. I mean, at the same time, you have to take care even more. So...
You have something like this. Yeah. It's even maybe more difficult because you have to, I understand what you mean. Make it even.
You don't have to waste this this genetic talent. Yeah. You know? So you have to work, you know, on it, and at the same time to, make even better and base all your plan without, I don't want to say lose, but I mean to, in one
improve.
Word.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, the genetic heritage, let's say.
What is obviously you work with Novak, and that is fascinating. What was his? Do you have a typical daily exercise program that you give to him? Is there something he does daily, or does it change all the time?
Wow, Gianluca, this is, it's very complex because, I mean, it depends. There are so many variability. I mean, it depends the part of the season. It depends which kind of tennis in particular, you know, if you are playing on grass or you are playing on clay, how far are you are from the competition, how many tournaments in a row you have to do, you know, sometimes jet lag because you are jumping from one place to the other. I would say that there are no always same exercise, especially with a person like him, that he really likes to be motivated in different ways. I mean, I always try with him to give him something new. It's like a new challenge every day. You know, this big guy that already so many years that are practicing, and they have to find always motivation because they want everything. They are basically, you know, how to stimulate their motivation. Yes. I mean, in this case with Nole, I prefer, on top of this, all the variability that I told you, I mean, the fact that to him, I try to give always something new to make him interested, you know, to make him, because he likes to challenge everything. So this is kind of to find motivation for him.
Okay. I kind of understand because, I mean, even in the very small world of tennis, let's call it that way, even when you're training or playing with juniors or so on, it is very difficult to make exercise interesting or fun. I find that very challenging. So is that the same when you have to work with top ATP or WTA players?
I think it's exactly the same. I mean, I don't want to say that we don't need to repeat the plan or something like this. For example, there are so many routines that we use for to try to, let's say, correct some postural problem that can bring, you know, in the long term, something not to be really nice to the body. So we use to repeat something, but in the same time, we try to do it in a way to stimulate, to motivate players to do it, That's the for me the key, especially with people like Nole, as I told you, or this big player that are already so many years that are there, and you know they did and they are doing everything basically since a long time. So it's one way okay. also to again to make them okay. Interested.
I'm just curious, why did he reach out to you and ask you to come and help him? And when you tell us the first time you met him, what sort of discussion did you have, and why did he need you, and what did you focus on initially with him?
Oh, well, as I told you a long time ago that I'm on the tour, so basically I saw Nole since when he was younger, because anyway, he was practicing sometime in Monte Carlo when he was young, and he was trying to find also a good, let's say, situation for him to practice well since when he was, again, when he was 14, something like this. But in particularly when we start, I mean, it was the 2017 when he changed the team. So basically through the management, they asked me if I was, let's say, available to do something like this. Again, we know each other. We knew each other since, you know, with the manager, okay. they are Italian, actually. And at the time I was working with the Japanese Federation. So, but my contract was in the end of the year. So, I mean, we find out also, each other as a timing, you know. Nothing. We start like this, in this way, and in the beginning was kind of, I asked him to give me just some time to, let's say, study on him, you know, just to see how, because directly, okay, we know already each other, but we know as player, but of course there are so many other things to be connected with, you know. So, and then we talk a lot, and we, let's say, put it down the path to follow, the trace, and I say it was working well, let's say.
Okay. And when you worked with him, was it, I'm just want to find out, was he still with Becker, or did he already finish with Becker?
No, he was finished with Becker, he was finished with Marian Vaida, and for okay. a while it was when I started, and Andre Agassi. Okay. And then after a while, I mean, again, the old team jumped back. Yeah. And so, thanks God, I had the opportunity to spend time also with Marian Vaida, and consequently also with Goran Ivanisevic. Okay. So it was wonderful.
Okay. Is it a nice team to work with?
Sorry, I didn't hear Gianluca.
No, I say, is it a very nice team to work with? Are they very relaxed?
I tell you, I mean, with all the respect with the other team, that I was pretty lucky every time, because it was wonderful. I had the pleasure to work with wonderful people, but this one in particular, I have to say that we are very unbelievable friends, and there is a unbelievable feeling between us. We are ready to support each other, because sometimes also it's not easy, you know, when you're traveling almost all the year around. So we are pretty, I have to say that we are probably the best team situation that I ever joined.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Because, I mean, not to be, but Serbians can be a bit particular, but they are very strong characters, let's put it that way.
Look, Gianluca, I think all the world is more or less the same. I mean, in particularly Balkanic people, Italian people, so for me it's okay. Not a big difference, you know. I mean, they are very
open, they are very patient. I mean, and they are, again,
I mean, not to be too much philosophical, but I mean, there are good and bad in everyone. I mean, and I have to say that I was probably particularly lucky to meet all the nice people. That's the truth.
Nice people, sure. Just going back to your training and etc. Is there different, I'm just interested, do you give different exercise programs to your players depending on what surface they play? Is it different?
Of course, yes. Okay. Every surface.
Can you give us an example?
Sure.
Just
to let you understand the, let's say, now I'm just saying a little bit more generically, but to understand as a sample, I mean the time of the rallies in the surface is totally different. So on clay, of course, are longer as an average. And slowly we go on the hard, and then we go on again on grass, which is the shorter. So this is already from the metabolic point of view, and you know, it's a huge difference. So just to be, I mean, I'm just talking a little bit more generically to understand. On clay, you have to be ready to play longer, to run longer, to hit the ball longer, which means most of the time with clay, especially if, you know, with the humidity, the ball can become a little bit heavier. So there is a combination that maybe on grass is not like that. Let's say the metabolic request, for example, grass, you have to be very, very fast, very explosive in 2 or 3 shots. That's the average. So it changed completely the metabolic effort, but not only that. I mean, you have to be much more reactive, for example, on grass, for example, compare hard court. You have to be, for example, much more grounded on grass, which means more bended knee, which means more involved, different muscle in the movement. So it's pretty complex, and when you are in this high level, you have to take care, of course, of this difference in order to be more ready and fit for the matches.
Okay. Now, I'm sure it's very, there's so much that goes into it. But like with Novak right now, how often do you meet with him and train with him? How many hours a day does he do, or per week, for example?
But again, this depends from the period of the time, you know, how far we are from the tournament and everything. But let's say average, we train every day. And of course, when there are some long ride, like, for example, 2 weeks Grand Slam, he will take absolutely days off because he need to regenerate, to get out from the stress, you know, also mentally. But normally, let's say when you work every day, we do at least between two or three hours of tennis, 1.5 to 2 hours plus all the other, work, for example, with the physio. So sometimes it's all combined. I work on court physically while he's playing tennis, or the physio is working with me in the gym. So, but it's pretty busy time, you know. So in the period that we are a little bit more far from the, like, could be, for example, pre-season, the volume of the work is a little bit higher. So probably 3-4 hours in the morning, and another, so we double it.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. That's quite a lot. Cause I was always, I've always been very interested, to put it very simply, tennis, you can say there is the technical aspect, the physical aspect, and the mental aspect. But I don't know, you are obviously a lot more, expert than me, but it seems to me that the more you become better at tennis, the more you become professional and you become a top player, at the beginning of your as a child, as a junior, technical is important, then physical, and then mental. But as the years go on, maybe it reverses and mental becomes more important and physical and the technical less. Would you agree with that?
Look, Gianluca, also this is a very complex argument. It's very clever question you made. I mean, again, we need to see what kind of a person we have in front of us. So we need to train, you know. I think it's not okay. Really... we need to think about the athlete as a complex unit, which is mentally, physically, and tactically, technically. All these things are connected. We cannot separate it. So when, for example, physically, for sure, there is a huge effort also mentally, and vice versa. And on court, when you had to learn how to, I don't know, play cross down the line. So also there is all connected. That's why we cannot separate the things, because on court nothing is separate. You know, it's all involved. The mind can trick your technique, like the mind can trick your physically, and vice versa. If you are not ready physically, you are weak also mentally. This is the message we need to send to people. I mean, you can be the fastest man in the world or the most. And then you can lose again in the match. Vice versa, you can be unbelievable, chess player, mentally, the biggest, warrior mentally in the world. And then you miss maybe the speed, or you miss the techniques, something like that. Everything have to be trained in the same way, in the same time. So that's why the load, the volume and the load that you put on the player is not only physical, it's not only mentally. So you have to take care of this when you work with somebody. It's all connected.
Yeah. No, it's very complex. No, it's I understand. I wanted to ask you, I know you worked with Ivo Karlovic. And for everybody who follows tennis, he is a unique player. I mean, he is probably, I think, the tallest player. Maybe now there is... anyway, he's one of the tallest players ever. With a player like that, what do you do? what is his training? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, but we come back in what I told you in the beginning. You know, we need to really understand which one. My way, let's say my screening on the player is okay. When I saw some players, which one are your best weapon? Okay, in Evo, for example, was we know everybody great server, so it needs to be very ready to physically to serve for 4 hours in the same level. So all the chain have to be activated in a good way. Mentally, he knows that is his strength. So he will be not, for example, marathon runner. I mean, he cannot stand on court for hours like Nole, for example. So my training with him, specific training, was not aimed in that. Because I know that it's like if you want to train a 100 meters runner like a marathon runner, or marathon runner like 100 meters.
I understand. I understand that. But my sorry to interrupt you. But we know he's very tall and he's got his game, his serve. But and he can't really move much. Give me an example. What specifically did you do? Some specific exercises for him
We try to make a lot of rapidity exercise, because I mean we know that is a kind of let's say successful rally was in one or two shots. So basically he was working a lot of in the rapidity, the agility to comes out, for example, from the serve and to be ready to hit the ball, or to make those two or three steps to reach the net. This I can tell you that, for example, in the normal gym machine, he couldn't fit because he was too different. So, the challenge with him was to find out, some way to train him, for example, legs or all that movement involved with the kinetic chain with some efficient machine. You know, it was not easy for that. Ivo was really very well committed, I'm happy that he was able to play until he was 40. So that's a great achievement for him.
He is also seems like a very interesting character. Is he a very nice he seems very philosophical nearly. Is he quite an interesting person to be around?
Absolutely, very deep person, very introspective person that work a lot on him, on himself. I mean, I was glad to share time with him, of course, with like everybody else, actually. Again, I don't want to be too much, you know, romantic, but I learned from each player I worked with. I mean, it was really fantastic, let's say, unique in a way, you know.
Sure.
For me.
No, that's amazing. You know Novak very well. I just wanted to ask you this question. Do you think he is the greatest player of all time? And secondly, what makes him so special?
Yes, definitely. I think he's the best player in the world. I mean, I have not I had not the pleasure to work with, you know, I don't know, with Roger or Rafa, but I know very well them. I'm tell you that he's maybe the more complete players in all the aspects. Persons come from Mars, of course. I mean, they are not almost human, but Nole is a little bit, you know, as I told you, more just really tiny more better than in all the aspects than the other. That's my opinion from outside. I mean, of course, it's personally. Where he's extremely killer, I mean, is unbelievable. Every time, I can make an example for you. I mean, every time we do some exercise where the cognitive aspect is involved, more the exercise going on, so you start to become tired, and so basically also mentally you are no more ready like before. He is able to increase his focus, his attention, his mentally strength. More with the exercise, more he became really focused on what he's doing. That's for me is I never saw something like this in you know, not even in track and field. I had the pleasure to be next some Olympic champion, something like this. Of course, it's different sports, but the ability that is able to put on court when the game start to become important, or the points start to become important, the other persons, the other players, even great players, start to decrease a little bit the mental strength, while the toughness is going, is increasing, is the opposite. More able to increase that.
Okay, that's amazing. But where do you think? Do you think that is also? I had the pleasure to interview his childhood coach, Bogdan Obradovic. I don't know if you ever met him.
Yeah. I know.
You know, where do you think that comes in? Do you think, again, that was just taught as a junior, or what do you think? Is that something that was taught to him?
When what to do, also physically. I mean, you know, so many things also physically. Sometimes we talk as a colleague more than, you know. but coming back to your question, I mean... it's a combination of things. I mean, I don't know. I always talk with him that, as you know, he has two brothers, younger brothers, you know. So when they were kids, they were always playing something. So, for example, his competitivity is coming from there. I mean, none of them, they want to lose, not even if they were playing cards or, you know, soccer or, I don't know, whatever. This kind of mentality is coming from a lot of factors. He learned from teacher he had before. He learned from the family. He learned from himself, because he's a very clever guy and he's very always reading interesting books, you know, and I say to increase the knowledge, personal knowledge. So all this combination make him to do something like this. So it's again, it's like physically, it's a bit genetic, but it's a lot of work too. That's the message that we need to send to the young guys, you know. So you can you have to have genetic base, of course, but you can improve everything if you put all yourself.
Okay. Okay, Marco, thank you very much. I don't want to keep you too long. We must get ready also for this football match. But I usually end with a rapid fire quiz. Lot of little questions. If you you can just answer very briefly. Yep. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Let's go. Do you have a current favorite tennis player, male or female?
Sorry, Gianluca, I didn't hear you. I lost it.
Do you have a current favorite player, male or female, that you like to watch?
Okay, Novak Djokovic.
Okay. if you have to, okay, I know which is your first, but if you have to list the big three, Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer, from your favorite to least favorite, can you list them?
Yeah, I mean, take it out, these big three, you mean?
No, in general, your favorite from...
Well, no, I mean, listen, this looks like a, how you say, diplomatic answer, but I like the, you know, I like the sport in general. So whoever is able to do something special, I love to watch.
Okay, no, that's fine. what's the favorite surface? What surface do you enjoy the most?
Well, I have to say that Wimbledon has particular, fashion. I mean, because the tradition I like so much. And when you are kids, probably something that stays in your mind when you see this wooden, pole that hold the net. I have to say, yeah, grass probably.
Grass. And your favorite tournament in the world? Wimbledon?
Wimbledon, of course, yes.
Okay. Let's say, what is the most amazing tennis experience you have ever had?
Well, again, these Grand Slams, you know, victories or whoever. But I have to say that probably to see, watch live wheelchair tennis make me so emotional that was one of the greatest experiences, yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's very interesting. I think South Africa has, I haven't checked, but I think they have a finalist in the...
Yeah.
No, I enjoy it also very much. It's nice to watch. I enjoy it. This is an interesting question. If you have to book a restaurant and invite free players, it can be any free players, male, female, of any era. Which restaurant and which players will you invite?
Well, this is a kind of, easy question. I mean, which kind of restaurant? I mean, I don't want to be too much, Italian, but even though if I like all the foods in the world, and I was lucky to travel a lot and to taste everything, but of course, some good Italian restaurant for sure. And I would like to spend time, for example, with Borg, because it was my idol when I was kids, of course. And to understand how was the tennis that time, because sometimes we say that, when we see these old matches, for example, that looks like they go slow. I'm not pretty sure of that, I mean, compared now, I'm saying. And I would like to ask them how was the level and how was compared today, what they think, that will be very interesting discussion with them.
Okay, so you have Borg, but you have to invite another two people, male or female.
Two people. Okay, so I would like to invite John Crick from South Africa, because he was one of the fastest players ever, and me that coming from, this sector and physically, I mean, I was always a... looking him running like a rocket, and and I would like to maybe, let's say, tennis player, definitely Steffi Graf, probably, yes, because when I started to go around, I had the pleasure to meet her, but I didn't have the possibility to exchange, so I want to see also there again. It's something that physically he was dominating, in the time, so. It was nice to hear also from her.
Okay.
In front of some carbonara pasta, so we can...
Some Roman restaurant in Testaccio.
Oh, cool.
Or
Trastevere. In Trastevere and Testaccio, exactly.
A lot of tennis players are superstitious. Are you superstitious?
Absolutely, yes. That's something that you cannot take out from Italian people, that's for sure.
Okay. How many hours do you sleep on average?
Oh, that's totally changing during the years, my life. Because when I was athlete, I was sleeping like a baby for, at least 12 hours. Now I have to say that I'm not sleeping that much. I mean, never more than 6 hours, never.
Okay. Your favorite country in the world? It can't be Italy, your own country.
Oh, I have to say that, not because I'm talking with you, but for sure South Africa. I've been there a couple of times to make pre-season with my players, and I have to say that was shocking for the beauty of the nature, of the environment, and I was really, really loved so much.
I didn't know this. When did you come and with who?
I came with Daniela Antukova, that she was used to do it also with the former coach, English coach, because the wife of the English coach is from South Africa, and she went with him. But also after she kept going there for the preseason, and we were in Cape Town, actually. In the area was Landadno, if I don't remember bad. That was fantastic, beautiful, beautiful.
Now I understand why you like it so much.
Yeah, it was amazing. But let's say I was really, amazed how the people there lived sport. I mean, I remember near the ocean, a lot of people that were running, the gyms, they were full of people that were making sports. I mean, the spirit was amazing. So you feel yourself also pushed to do, everything. I mean, it was an amazing feeling, yes.
Okay. No, it is a very, I mean, I'm lucky. I've lived here many years. The South African are very sporty people, and they like being outside a lot. So, next time you are in Cape Town, you must give me a call.
Absolutely, I will. That's one of my favorite places. I want to come back for sure.
I'll make you a carbonara. It won't be very good, but I'll try my best. What's your favorite city in the world?
There are many, I have to say. Now this difficult question. I mean, but every city has something particular, and unique. Of course, I grew up in Rome, and the history, we breathe history every time, and there is an old city, 2,500 years old, and I have to say that I miss, when I go around, I miss the soul of the city. But of course, when you go to Paris, to London, there are so many places amazing, not in the big city. And but in the same time, when I miss too long to be home, I felt it a little bit, I would say then, I would say Rome, of course. But this is the roots. I think it's the same for everybody.
Okay. Is tennis, in your opinion, the most and it's good because you are obviously an athlete who did long jump and etc. Is tennis the most difficult sport in the world, in your opinion?
Yeah. There are different aspects of tennis that make it very, very the toughest, for sure. Yeah, the fact that it's very mentally violent sport, you don't have contact, so you have to take your whole responsibility always by yourself. And the fact, for example, that there is no time limit. Tennis match could be forever. This is another, not only I'm saying from as a effort, the physical effort, but also again, all together with mentally, you go inside, you can play forever. And Yes, you are totally alone there. You have to deal with yourself a lot. That's why I always said we need to, just pass me the word, as a people that around the player, we should be also kind of educator, not only trainer, you know? I mean, we need to try to make them complete as a person, because better person then can succeed on court in this kind of sport.
Okay. I'll give you a shot in tennis, and you just tell me the first thing you can think of, or the best player you can think of, male or female. So let's start with the serve.
Mm-hmm. Serve nowadays or whoever?
It can be ever.
Listen, today, you know, I can tell you now. For me, Shapovalov is one of the toughest servers. Not even maybe the strongest. Matteo can serve unbelievable. Raonic, we know all these big players. But Shapovalov is amazing. I mean, it's very tough to read. And also talking with my player, he confirmed that.
Oh, really? Is this Djokovic that said it was very difficult?
Yeah. We talk about that. And we remember last year we played the final in Parigi-Bercy against him. But it was really tough because it was impossible to read. I mean, I was behind in the first line. I was trying to figure out where he was serving, you know, like if I was on court, I mean, impossible. And then also Nole, of course, told me this.
Okay, really? Wow. Okay. return of serve. But I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes, exactly. Jump to the next.
You can jump to the next forehand.
Yeah. Well, Novak, of course.
Yeah. Forehand?
Forehand is a good question. Gianluca, I cannot hear you anymore.
No, I'm saying forehand. Forehand?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Gonzalez.
Okay. Backhand.
Backhand. I can tell you backhand down the line, Nole. Nalbandian. Also.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good one. Volley.
Pat Rafter.
Okay. Drop shot.
Well. Now we go too much specific, you know, for me. I mean, let's say drop shot.
How about Musetti?
I have to say that, yeah, Musetti, Marco Cecchinato. I have to say that Italian, also Matteo Berrettini, the Italian has a good tradition drop shot. I mean, we like it.
Movement. Maybe here we have to skip this one as well.
Don't make me repeat.
No, this one I'm interested in. Mental toughness.
Well, I mean, Murray, Rafa, Roger, of course. I mean, I don't want to say again Nole, but we know that he's one of the top.
Okay.
I would say this guy, yeah.
These guys. Touch, feel.
Well, there are so many. So when we talk about the technically, I mean, the French players are very, very good, all of them. They have a very good tradition. Same. Shapovalov, again, I mean, for me, it's really impressive. Okay. I like, for example, also Tsitsipas. I like, you know, I mean, these young lions are all good, very good players.
Okay. And last one, presence, aura.
What do you mean?
Presence, like when you are in a locker room and
personality,
when people see you. Personality, presence.
Well, again, we come back in the previous question. You know, the players in general, they are very, they have to work on themselves. They have to be very centered person in order to succeed. When you are a centered person, you have personality. Even though if you are somebody that speaks a lot, like, for example, Nole, or you are very silent, for example, like Goran. Ivanisi, which they say two words in a week. But anyway, he has personality too. Sometimes it's enough that just how he looks, something, you know. I mean, I have to say that a lot of players are very great personality, because standing in front of a full stadium, faces, you know, final of this huge tournament, you have to have something special. If you don't have this awareness of yourself, you cannot be a successful player.
Okay, Marco, last question, and then I finished. But I'd like to say thanks a lot. I really enjoyed talking to you, and you were very kind to speak in such a busy day. Ask yourself a question and answer it.
Yes, very easy. Sometimes people, I mean, till what time you want to, you know, keep going around the world with the baggage in your hands? I would say this question that I make myself, and my answer is definitely since I have the power to do it, because, I mean, I really love and I miss the competition. I miss to be there to try to find out and to try to help with something in the player. So that's my answer.
Okay, so you're not going to stop soon. You're gonna keep on going.
No, if still some players are gonna give me credit, then I will keep going forever. Yes.
Okay, so you really love. That's fantastic to hear. So you obviously really, really enjoy what you are doing. But look, it was a pleasure speaking to you. I think, my pleasure. You know, you are obviously a legend in your field. You have obviously worked at the highest level in fitness, in everything with tennis. So it was great to hear your opinions. And thank you again for your time. And don't forget, if you're in Cape Town, give me a call.
I will do it for sure, Gianluca. Thank you so much. It was my big pleasure.
Okay, and Forza Italia.
Sì, andiamo, forza.